friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying the Songs of Ascent, Psalms 120 to 134, and this is number 14, Psalm 133, The Beauty of Unity. Father, because of our selfishness and our stubbornness, so often we are separated from people that you've called us to love. Teach us unity, I pray, as we study your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Few psalms surpass this short three-verse psalm in the power of its imagery. In my mind, it ranks up there with the word picture of the Lord is my shepherd. We have oil poured on the head, then imagine its viscous fluid running down on the beard and clothing, and finally the thought of abundant dew on the mountains. The theme of this psalm expresses a longing that we all have, love, acceptance, the comfort of being cared about. It is the delightful psalm that some have classified as a wisdom psalm, but I think it overflows that designation. Let me read it, verses 1 through 3, Psalm 133 in the English Standard Version. A Song of Ascents of David. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The first line presents the theme, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. The key term here is yahad, unitedness, union, association, community, from the verb yahad, be united, be joined. Every other phrase in this short psalm amplifies and informs this word. The single purpose of this psalm is to exalt the value and virtue of unity. Let's consider Psalm 133 carefully, taking time to allow its words and images to settle in our hearts and affix themselves to our souls. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. The first words we see are good and pleasant. The root of good refers to good or goodness in its broadest senses. Depending upon the context, the word can carry meanings such as good, pleasant, beautiful, delightful, glad, joyful, precious, correct, and righteous. Hebrew often uses tob, where in English we would say something like beautiful or expensive. It may also include the ideas of superior quality or relative worth. The word pleasant is a close synonym. It means lovely, sweet, agreeable. The word is used to describe David as the sweet psalmist of Israel, the physical beauty of two lovers in the Song of Solomon, the taste of bread, the music of the lyre. The words themselves carry associations of beauty, joy, and loveliness. Now the psalmist introduces the smell and feel of the perfumed olive oil used for anointing in the temple. Verse 2. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. In the Bible, oil becomes a symbol of prosperity and blessing. It is referred to as the oil of joy. An honored guest would be anointed with oil as an act of generous hospitality, as in the 23rd Psalm, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. In Jesus' day, putting oil on a guest's head was considered the act of a gracious host. But in Psalm 133, this isn't just olive oil. It is precious oil, probably perfumed. The adjective here is tob, that we saw in verse 1, in the sense of beautiful and expensive. The New Jerusalem Bible renders it fine oil. And it isn't just a little dab. This oil is poured, until it begins to run off the hair and down into the beard, and then even onto the recipient's robes. I would worry about staining my clothes. But the figure here is used to suggest abundance, extravagance, overflowing blessing. Aaron is mentioned because he is anointed as high priest by Moses. We see the same image when Jesus is anointed by a woman with expensive perfume. The point is the excess, the extravagance of this act of worship. Love is like that. Verse 3, it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Mount Hermon is a high, snow-covered mountain on the border between Syria and Lebanon, the highest mountain in the lands of the Bible, 9,230 feet. George Adam Smith observes, "The dews of Syrian nights are excessive, and on many mornings it looks as if there had been heavy rain. The dew that falls on the slopes of Mount Hermon is copious." Mount Zion, on the other hand, is a poetic term for the city of Jerusalem. The psalmist seems to be saying that unity of brothers can be compared to the proverbial heavy dew of Mount Hermon descending upon Jerusalem. Kirkpatrick expresses it this way, "Dew is a symbol for what is refreshing, quickening, invigorating." The psalmist compares the influence of brotherly unity upon the nation to the effect of dew on vegetation. From such dwelling together, individuals draw fresh energy. The life of the community, social and religious, is revived and quickened. In our fractured world, unity is difficult. As I write this, nationalism is on the ascendancy, while unity and globalism is in decline. Even the European Union finds unity difficult. All too frequently, peace has been shattered by regional and world wars. The Beatles' song Imagine expresses the longing for something better than this. "You may say, I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one." Sadly, the Beatles were unable to accomplish this goal of the brotherhood of man. And it has eluded churches, too. We have separatist churches that refuse to fellowship with others that might have some different understandings of the Bible. Too often, such groups see doctrinal purity and separation from worldly Christians as their prime directive. It is because of such attitudes that the Protestant church provides the testimony to the world that it is splintered into hundreds of self-righteous pieces. True brotherhood can't be achieved by world-renowned rock stars and winsome songs. It is only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. Unity is not some kind of evil compromise. Unity is love, working itself out amidst the difficulties that otherwise tend to divide people. Psalm 133 teaches us that true unity is beautiful, a thing to behold. The most important New Testament word embraces this theme, agape, love. When asked, "What is the most important commandment in the Torah?" Jesus answers, Matthew 22:37-39, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love, agape, is the only foundation that unity can exist upon. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." Jesus told his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you were my disciples, if you love one another. Organizations that bring together individuals and nations in common purpose are good, but without love they fall short. The only way to achieve the good and pleasant unity pictured in Psalm 133 is through love inspired and enabled by the Holy Spirit. Indeed, love is the mark of an authentic follower of Jesus. Won't you make it your prime directive? Let's pray. Father, we can picture the beauty of unity, but too often we fall so short of realizing it. Fan the flames of your love in our hearts so that true unity can be possible, centered in Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Our Day 14 Meditation on Psalm 133. Which word pictures in Psalm 133 do you find most compelling? Why do you think lasting unity is so hard to achieve in our world, in our countries, in our churches, in our families? What do you think is the chief obstacle to love in your life?